Welcome to the Tabletop Gaming Magazine podcast. I'm Chris Eggett, editor of the magazine, and today I'm joined by Chris Bizet. Hi.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm pretty good. So we are at a huge turning point in your life because
yes.
You have launched your, well, I don't know, 10th Kickstarter or something like that.
800th, yeah, something like that. Yeah. So, that's just this year.
No, you've got a Kickstarter live right now.
Yes.
Which we will introduce properly in a minute. And that was the kind of spur that kicked me towards having a chat with you. Shall we start with who you are?
Yeah, sure. Who am I? It's a very good question. You know when you've had a podcast recording all day and you could have been thinking of great, smooth answers and then you didn't. I am Chris Bizet. I run Loot the Room, which is a blog and site and publishing arm and pseudonym for myself. And I make small role-playing games. My new tagline that I'm rolling with at the moment is small games for big people. That's what I make. Probably best known for a solo game called The Wretched that you've very kindly been very supportive of for the past year or so.
Well, it helps. And, it's very good.
Thank you. I like it a lot. And I'm glad that other people do. And and other miscellaneous games and adventures and things.
Yeah.
It's the worst introduction to
that's
who
I
right.
am. I mean, so what cool stuff have you done recently? You did the Troll King Morkborg book.
Yes.
Which was cool.
Treasures of the Troll King. Treasures, yes.
He has some treasures. We want them. You know.
The treasure was the horrible time we had.
Yeah.
In the sewers. That was the treasure. It was there the whole time.
That was very cool. Then there's Rich and Lone, obviously. And then, of course, we've got the new one, which is down in Yongerdy. Is that right?
Do you know what? I don't know how you're meant to pronounce it because I've only ever seen it written down in the Troika rulebook. So yeah. I say Yongerdy.
Yeah.
And I think possibly as the first person to ever pronounce that word aloud,
possibly.
I get to set how it is pronounced now and forever. So I'm sorry, Daniel Sell, but I own Yongerdy now.
Okay, I'm sure he doesn't mind too much.
I'm sure he doesn't mind.
So where should we start with this? Should we start with what is it? Should we start with that and just go straight in?
So Down in Yongerdy is a solo game book using the mechanics and settings of Troika, which is a very nice sentence that doesn't really tell you much about it. I grew up playing fighting fantasy books, I think as a lot of British gamers did. And I grew up playing advanced fighting fantasy, and Troika is like a modern retro clone of advanced fighting fantasy. And I got really into it last year. I really love it as a game, and I thought, I mean, it's a fighting fantasy game. Why has nobody written a solo Troika book yet? And then lockdown happened, and I got back into fighting fantasy solo books, and I thought, maybe I'll be the person to write a solo Troika book. And now we're on Kickstarter, and it looks like it's going to happen, so now I have to write a fighting fantasy book.
Yeah, that's great.
It's great. I can't wait.
Last Friday we had a little launch party, didn't we?
It was Monday, if you believe it. Was only 2 days ago.
Well, that's how good the vibe was at the launch party. Is I thought it was a Friday.
that was a lot of fun.
So that was where did you take us? Habbo Hotel. Club Penguin?
It looks like Habbo Hotel, doesn't it? Yeah. It's Gathertown, which is a cool thing. I didn't know about it until Session Zero Online, which was, I believe, this year. It feels like it was about 8 years ago. But yeah, Session Zero Online did their... I've been to a lot of online conventions the past 2 years, as I'm sure we all have. And none of them felt quite as much like the real thing as Session Zero. Because... for people who don't know, it's like Habbo Hotel. It's a little 8-bit map, and you've got a little avatar, and you walk around, and as you get near people, their voices sort of fade in, and then you see them on camera, and then you stand around and have a chat with them, and then you think, okay, I'm done with this conversation, and then you walk away from them, and the conversations fade out, and it does a really good job of emulating a physical space, and I thought, this is perfect for a launch party.
Yeah, and the way we did it was you were on stage. Reading us the opening of the book, which is already written. So, you know, you've basically done most of the work, right? The hardest part is starting, right?
That's a statement.
And we would, based on the choices available to us, we would go stand on a different mat, a different coloured mat on the in the area. Yes, and the group was quite single-minded. I saw someone saying,
which made my job easier.
Someone in the chat said something like, you know, narrative gamers have just outed themselves. But it was like 90% of the people there. Just like, what's the most interesting thing that could happen? Not what's good, just what's the most interesting thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, so we had a good time there. And do you want to give us what the setting is from that opening?
Sure. So Troika is quite anti-canon and doesn't really have a fixed setting. All the setting comes from the backgrounds, but my favorite background in Troika is, I might just read it to you, I'm sure that'll be fine. There we go. So the Yongadi lawyer is my favorite background in Troika, and it says, down in Yongadi they do things differently. They respect the law with a capital L. Every day there is a queue outside the courts to get a seat to see the latest up-and-coming barrister defend their case with a meter of steel. The people follow the careers of their favorite solicitors, watch all their cases, collect their portraits, and sneak into the court after hours to dab the patches of blood on white handkerchiefs. In Yongadi, they love the law. That's it. That's the impetus for the entire book.
Yeah. And, you know, more or less, that will do. People can go back it on Kickstarter. And that's the end of the podcast.
At the moment of recording this, we've just hit our one and only stretch goal. So, you know.
What was the stretch goal? Oh, it was the stretch goal. The old covers, wasn't it?
The alt cover, by Gontijo. Because earlier this year he was doing these really minimalist covers for Fighting Fantasy books, and I thought, hello, they're very good. I want one of them, please.
Yes.
And he very kindly immediately agreed to do one for me. So now we get to do that.
Yeah.
Which is great.
That's fabulous. So that's, that's the version we'll be backing. Look at them, you know. They're like hyper minimalist, aren't they? But they still retain their kind of like character in some way. In some ways, they're a little bit like, and this is maybe it's probably kind of what they are, but it's like the worst way to say it, and maybe an offensive way to say it. They're like, you know, when they did the Harry Potter books for grown-ups to read on the train.
Yes.
They're a bit like that. It's a bit
kind
like
of muted and minimal and classy. I'm doing finger commas because people on podcasts can't see me do this. But yeah,
but they are classy. Yeah, they look really good.
Yeah, they are.
So
bloody lovely is what they are.
So, and this is where you're going to help me a lot, because I really like the aesthetic of Troika. I like all the stories it suggests it could give me. I've never played Troika. I own a couple of PDF versions of it via various bundles, because I don't think you can buy an RPG bundle without getting a copy of Troika.
No, absolutely not. It's everywhere.
Yeah. Which is good.
I think it's harder to not own Troika at this point.
Yeah. But I guess the question is, what is it? You know, because I've never got to the point of like, I'm going to make a character and then I understand the rules enough to actually get it played or get it to the table.
Cool, yeah. It's super minimal. In terms of setting, there's not a lot of it, but it's what Spelljammer wishes it was. If that helps at all.
Doesn't help me at all. No. See,
excellent.
See, the problem here is Chris is much cooler than me. he will, I think I'm cool because I own a copy of Morkborg, and I think that's really cool and modern and exciting. And he's going to drop a load of things on me that I'm like, I've got no idea, mate.
It is the core conceit of the world of Troika is it's science fantasy, and the world exists in spheres, and every sphere is a different realm, planet, place. There's Yongadi, where they love the law. There's the home of the Rhino Men. There's people covered in keys who just open doors to random places. It's very cool. I'm saying a lot. It's, as far as rules go, it's super rules light. You have luck and stamina and skill, and you have some hit points. And then you roll a random background. The core book has a D66 table, which is 36 backgrounds.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah. And that's your entire character. Like the Yongerdy lawyer that I just read you, you would, if you rolled that randomly, you have the Yongerdy lawyer, and then you get given some possessions and you get given some skills, and that's it. And all the backgrounds kind of, they're very deceptively simple.
Well, they're very evocative.
There are a few sentences. Yeah, they're so evocative, and they're just packed with like drives for character and things that you want to do and explore. And it's just, it's, I don't know what it is about the game and the setting, but it inspires, in me at least, the best kind of chaos. Every single game of Troika I've ever run has just been absolute bedlam. I ran Rot Black Sludge, the Mugborg intro adventure, using Troika. Because I thought, they're two completely disparate tones when it comes to games. How do they go together? Turns out they go together really well.
Okay.
Turns out that was a ton of fun.
The way you've described that, it actually reminds me of, the only thing I can think that really gets me close to something I've actually played like that is Hypertellurians, which
I don't know that.
Oh, it's like 40 pages of character background, and then the GM gets one page of how to run a game.
Amazing, yeah.
And then that's about it. And we had a really good time with just the pre-gen characters that we chucked into it, and it was all quite jolly. But yeah, it was all generated from the character. That's how it came about.
Absolutely, that, yeah.
Cool. Okay, so that's what Troika is, and we know what your RPG is, not your RPG, your adventure book is. Why did you want to make it? What is it that, apart from having read these books and just deciding you were the guy?
Yeah, I think literally that's it. Since I've been a kid, I've wanted to write a Branching Paths Fighting Fantasy style book. I keep almost describing it as a Fighting Fantasy book, and I keep worrying that Steve Jackson is going to come along and sue me into the earth for saying that, because it's not a Fighting Fantasy book. But since I was a kid, I've wanted to write a Fighting Fantasy book, and like I've started them 100 times, but never had like a story to hang on it. And it's one of those kind of, we just have a confluence of things. I was playing a lot of Troika, and then my partner and I went away for a weekend, and I spent a weekend wandering around the Lake District and charity shops, hunting down all Fighting Fantasy books. And then in the evenings, I sat down and I was reading The Trial by Kafka. And just the combination of Troika, The Trial, and Fighting Fantasy kind of smashed themselves together in my head. And suddenly I started writing this book. And then I was like, well, guess we're doing a Kickstarter then. Because there's no way I'm writing a full Fighting Fantasy book without making sure I get paid for it first.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because it's... Because there's a lot of work. So I've been playing the solo Call of Cthulhu books recently, which are quite good. They're quite good fun. There is something like really like, you have this sort of, when you start the book, you deceive yourself into thinking, this, I'm going to get one shot at this, and then it's going to be ruined for me. I'm never going to play it again. And that's complete bollocks.
Complete rubbish.
Because I've played through the same book three times now, and I've died in three very different interesting ways. And that's quite a, I think quite a small book really. How long do you think yours will be in the end?
I'm aiming. So the original Fighting Fantasy books were 400 numbered paragraphs. I'm aiming for the same.
Yeah.
I've plotted it to be 400, but when you start writing things, I don't have the discipline of Ian Livingstone. You know, I haven't written 800 of them. So I'm aiming for 400 paragraphs. I think that'll be about 200 pages. I think we're looking at about 50,000 words.
Nice. Okay.
I think. I've written the first section. I think it'll be longer than that, based on having written that section, but we'll see.
And how are you approaching it? Are you, because the kind of mapping of it is completely mad, I assume.
Yeah, it's mad. Lots of flowcharts. I've got a notebook that I plotted it all out in in a box somewhere. I should probably dig out now that the Kickstarter is funded. I've done it very methodically. I've split it into the intro section. There are three broad paths that you can go down. If you remember at the end of the intro section, we got to decide which person we accidentally killed.
We can spoil this, can't we? This is out in the world.
We can spoil this, yeah.
So the three people were some high judge that no one cares about.
That was who we picked.
That's who we picked. That's not who I voted for. I voted for, like, the bear queen of the forest. Or
Winona Marmalade.
Winona Marmalade. And it wasn't
the best name I've ever come up with.
Yeah. Sort of inverted itself, isn't it? You know, some way. I don't know why I feel that's an inverted name, but like mirrored on top of itself somehow. But sorry, go on.
I'm into that. And the other one was Lotentine Badundonk.
Okay. Now, unlike Winona Marmalade, that's a silly name.
A very silly name.
What's his role again? I've got no idea. I can't remember.
The third Duke of Desbert.
Yeah, probably important. Less interesting probably, than making the bears angry, which I thought was going to be. Yeah. That should have been the obvious choice.
It should have been. But then who wants to kill a bear, you know?
Well, maybe you don't. Maybe you just get killed by a bear. Maybe that's how
that's how it ends. Yeah. Be interesting to see which route most players pick once I've written it. Because the idea is that that choice sends you off down one of three broad routes through the book. And I'm sort of making it easy, medium and hard mode.
Oh, interesting.
Sort of. We'll see how well that works. I don't know if that's a good idea or a bad idea. But I've basically plotted out three separate stories to lead to the same conclusion that go down those three routes, and then I've split them all into scenes within those routes, and then I've split those scenes into individual paragraphs within those scenes and decision points, and there's a flowchart for every single one of those scenes. The more I talk about it, the more I think this might have been a bad idea.
This seems like a very good idea to me, isn't it?
The numbering is the hardest part. Apparently, like Ian Livingstone just has a list of numbers, and when he writes a paragraph, he goes through and he picks a random number and crosses it off and assigns it.
Oh my God.
I've been numbering them like section 1A, section 1B, section 1C, and I'm going to do the numbering afterwards. Otherwise, I'll get lost in my own manuscript.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, are you using anything like Twine or something like that to like plot?
I'm doing the digital version in Twine.
Okay, cool.
So the first version the intro section that I've written was literally just written kind of sequentially in a manuscript. And then I took all the numbers and shuffled them up and then manually shuffled up the manuscript. Mm-hmm. Not going to work for 400 paragraphs. Silly idea. Don't recommend it. But then I did the Twine version, and Twine's something I've wanted to work with for a long time, but I'm not computer minded, and it kind of put me off. And then I actually did it, and I thought, oh, this is just Markdown. This is like writing on Reddit, but without someone shouting at me. And putting together the Twine version was really easy. And then off the back of that, like the past 2 weeks, I've changed my entire workflow to, I don't write in Google Docs anymore. I write entirely in Markdown now. And so I think I'm just going to write it in Markdown and dump that straight into Twine.
Great.
Because I can immediately number all the sections really easily and just have all those links exist.
Yeah, and then you can obviously test it like that quite easily.
And I can test it like that very easily. Yeah. And if that doesn't work, I will cry a little bit. And then I'll try Inkle Writer, because that's something that a friend of mine who writes Branching Path books for a living almost recommended that I use. Probably should have listened to him when I started this. I'm very stubborn. And very stupid, but that's plan B. Yeah. And if plan B doesn't work, I'll cry a little bit more and then figure out a plan C, but it'll be fine. I've got bags of time.
Yeah, it'll be all right. But speaking of which, when's this coming out?
So I've set a delivery date of July.
Cool.
Next year. Cool. Which is more than ample. My aim is to get it delivered in May, but obviously, you know, pandemics happen, things. I stuck a few extra months on, just to be sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, basically just get it like we're funded now, so there's no reason not to get it written now.
Yeah.
And then I can get it to editing and get the rest of the art done and get it printed and get it in people's hands.
That's great. That's great. So it's funny you said that you're not like technologically minded, say, because I'm pretty sure you put together an adventure generator quite recently.
I did.
Yeah. Which, I don't know, you sort of had to code somehow.
I used a website to do it for me. How I just wrote lists of things. I mean, there's a little bit of coding. I'm not, yeah. I don't know, I bounce off things and I tell myself I can't do things over and over and over and over again, and then I actually try them and they're very easy. And the same thing happened with the generator. I wanted to write some random generators and I bounced off them a few times, and then I found a website that does the hard work for you, and then gradually got more and more complicated with what I was doing with them. It's just I've got a very awkward brain.
But this is your random adventure jam, which has got quite a few entries so far. I think
it's got loads. Yeah, I haven't even managed to write my own entry for it yet.
I've not written mine.
I extended it by a month just so I can write something for it. Yeah, it's got 38 entries so far.
Yeah, that's quite a lot.
That's quite a few, yeah. And it's running for another 2.5 months. So,
yeah, there's still time. Yeah, there's still time, people.
Yeah, still time. I'll get an adventure done for it, I think.
Yeah,
I hope.
Yeah, I started writing one, and then I saw someone else had nearly the same title as me. I thought, don't worry, they've done it for me. No worries. It was the
it was the
Mud Reader something. Is what
excellent.
Which I think the Mud Reader is just such an evocative phrase as like a character to deal with in an RPG, like someone who spends their time scrying from mud, you know, or whatever.
That's, it's just great, like, fun.
Yes, that's the one that thankfully someone else has gone and done for me. You've also got some other projects ongoing, such as the excellent section you do in the magazine.
Oh yeah, that's really fun.
Yeah, it's turned out to be probably my favorite bit of the magazine to get in every month.
Oh, awesome!
Just because it's kind of headed up by Anna. Anna will tell me. Well, this is Anna Blackwell, creator of Delve and writer for the magazine. She'll send me here's our theme, and I'll be like, okay, yeah, I mean, I guess that's a theme. Okay. Then it comes in, I'm like, okay, this is brilliant. There's actually basically an adventure here. The first one was ballroom dancing, which is like,
yeah,
that I was like, fingers crossed, this is going to be okay. And then, but it was great.
Matt and Anna and Jack, we have a little group chat, and I'm notoriously bad at group chats. They break my brain in horrible ways, so I just check in like once a week and go, just assume I've said yes to everything. And so I did that, and the theme was ballroom dancing, and I had 2 days before our deadline, and I was like, shit, I don't know anything about ballroom dancing.
I can't remember what you did. You do the accidents?
Might have been Matt.
Was that Matt? I can't remember
what I did.
Yeah, most recent one was
Google Drive.
Slime.
I didn't do anything for slime. I had to take the month off from that.
Did you?
That was all those three.
Oh, my apologies. Oh, well, they had a really good time.
Yeah, I did Five Strangers You Meet at the Masquerade for ballroom dancing.
That's it. Yeah, so that was a really fun. Good one, because that did prove the concept to me that it kind of like almost doesn't matter what I get in, because once they're all on the page together, it becomes like a pamphlet that I would buy.
Like when Anna pitched it, I was like, how are we going to make this cohesive? Like Matt and I have worked together often enough and effectively share the same brain that we often pitch the same thing. And so like, I knew like if it was just Matt and I doing it, it would be fine. Anna and Jack are both amazing in ways that I could never hope to be. And they come up with stuff and I'm like, where did that come from? And I'm one of those people who is like, deadlines don't exist until they're tomorrow.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And so I tend to write mine after everyone else has written theirs, when Anna's breathing down my neck saying, Chris, we have to send this over now, please write something. And I'm like, oh shit, yeah, you're right, November did happen. And I look at what they've written and I'm just like, I don't know how am I gonna match this. You're all far, far better than me.
Well, I think they're all really good.
I've been enjoying writing them a lot. It's quite good timing that we're not doing one in December because you're doing the end of year issue, aren't you?
That's it, yeah. So we're doing the best of for the next issue, which is like hopefully a nice break for everyone to some degree. It's been very weird for me because I've not had deadlines in the same way. So I've been like, oh, what should I do? Oh, there's all these projects I've been trying to do for 2 years that I'm slowly...
Oh my God, I've got all this free time.
Yeah, like I'm now in the midst of... I've brought them all to the 80% point and I'm about to start a new issue. So,
yeah. Oh, look, it's 6 weeks till January.
That's it.
Oh, right. Booker.
Yeah. Terrifyingly. I think it's just like a really nice thing that we've got in there to have this like functional bit of the magazine that hopefully someone, you know, if someone's got like a exalted funeral, problem like I sometimes have.
Yep. I sympathize.
Or the recent Igloo Tree they've picked up all the UK stock apparently or something like that.
Yeah.
So you can get it without hopefully we're giving people just a little bit of a taste of the kind of thing you'd end up with after spending £12 on a nice riser printed thing.
And like I grew up in an era of, you know, Dragon magazine and Dungeon magazine and White Dwarf being more than just a advertising vehicle for Games Workshop, which is fine. It's their magazine. They can do what they want with it. But it's nice to pick up a magazine and have something gameable in it.
Yeah, that's it.
It's quite fun for me as well because, like, it drops through my door every month and I've already forgotten what our theme was and what we wrote. And so I pick it up and I'm like, oh, I wonder what Rainy Day Games have done this month. And it always looks great. I don't know who you've got doing layout for it, but it always looks amazing.
That's our long-suffering designer, Mike Carr, who he does both Tabletop Gaming. He also does Miniature War Games magazine.
Oh, wow.
And they're
busy guy.
I think he does about 8 magazines. Hopefully you'll enjoy Slime. When it lands, because there was a piece he did up in the style of, it was like things you can add, slime you can add to your weapons to do stuff. But I said, Mike, could you make this look kind of like their adverts? And it's come back.
Oh,
and
my
just
God.
Like, that's exactly what I wanted.
You know, that's amazing. Yeah. I'll have to dig that out and have a look.
Yeah. Hopefully it's coming to the same address still. But, you know, we should probably change that.
It's all right. Royal Mail will sort it out. I've got a redirect.
Excellent. So, have we got anything else you'd like to plug?
I don't think so. Please throw money at my Kickstarter.
So, where can people find it?
They can find it at bit.ly/downinYongerdy, capital letters on the beginning of each word. Yongerdy spelled YONGARDY. Or, you know, come and shout at me on Twitter and I will shout a link back at you.
Yeah. Yes, you're quite good on Twitter. I enjoy your threads.
Oh, thank you.
They're very good.
It's I have a love-hate relationship with Twitter.
Yes, yeah, I think we all do. I think it's avoidable. But are you pangalactic? Is that you?
Pangalactic, the drink from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Is that what that's from?
That's what that's from. Yeah. You know when you've had a name on the internet for a very long time and you don't really care for it anymore, but you've been on Twitter since 2009 and it feels too late to change it now.
Yeah, it's basically your brand, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. Yeah, and somebody else has got Loot the Room, so, like, what am I going to change it to?
Like, with zeros? No, God, it's horrible. It's horrible. It's like, don't do that. It's a really bad idea. Don't do that.
Then I'd get to the end of every podcast and I'd be like, I'm at Loot the Room, but replace the O's with zeros.
That's right. Thank you very much for joining us.
You're very welcome.
And hopefully we'll speak to you soon.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Thank you for having me. This was really fun.
Yeah, thank you.